Oh, I'm so glad all of you are here. It's good to see you. I mean it. I have felt so alone, abandoned, neglected, devil picking at you. Anybody in here feel like he just singled you out and picked on you this past week or last month or anything? Yeah, one or two. Yeah, we're all in this together. I've had people say to me in life, you know, well, you're a pastor, you know, and he won't pick on you like God protects you more. It's like, uh-huh. He does, but the enemy comes at you harder. You know, the more you do for him, listen to me. Those of you who feel like, man, the devil, using life or whatever, is just beating me up. Why do you think that's happening? And what will come into your mind, put there one way or another, is that you're a bad person. This is what you deserve. You don't deserve better. All this stuff. And most of the time, just the opposite is true. The more that you're doing, more you're serving God, the more you're trying to help people, the more you're trying to love Him with all your heart and soul and mind, strength, and love your neighbor and do those things, the more the devil's going to come and try to make you bitter, try to make you angry, try to make you stop. I realize that the things that just like this happening and all this with me, and have this stomach thing, you know, and I can't understand why they can't get it all removed, and it's been wearing on me. It has. It wears on you. And it's not fun going in there and putting tubes down you and doing all that stuff. That's as a lot of you know, and I'm not trying to whine or anything, but then you add the truck. That's my only truck. That's my transportation to get to church, do whatever, and it goes down. And you're just thinking, what is it? And then when the guy stopped me up here, it's like, you know, what do you say? You know, I said that, well, that wraps it up. You know, that does it. And then, you know, I got to tell you, if you ever run into that guy, he's a nice guy. And I hope you don't under circumstances that I did, but if you do, he was very, one of those congenial, happy, very, reminded me very much of our, of Clayton back here, you know, same, but just not, he wouldn't have let me go. Oh, that side of him comes out when he stopped. Oh, okay. He reminded me of you, and he was real stout built guy, but you know, I forgive you. Those words will stay with me a long time. And he was being humorous, but he meant it, and he did. And you know, I asked God when I pulled over, because I didn't even know what I was doing. I was trying to, you know, no excuse, but I was fiddling with this thing. I couldn't get the wipers come on. I wanted them to stop. And on my truck, it's so easy. And on this thing, it's like, is there a code? And they know you just stop this. I don't know about you, but little things aggravate the dickens out of me. And, you know, it's not rain. Stop. You know, so you're, you know, and then you realize, oh, I just passed. I'll just pull over. I'm done. And I did, you know, and he's blinking and then come, you know. But anyway, you know, it's like, I forgive you. I guess he could tell this guy needs forgiving today. You know, so anyway, but all that happens, and I remember I pulled over, you know what I said? I said, God, please give me grace today. I did. I said, would you please give me grace with this? I'm just about at my, and we'd get there, right? And remember, I've been preaching, bringing these messages from the Lord that we need to get honest with God, have honest prayers, and just ask Him, tell Him what we're feeling. And this, it was like, this is it. I'm late to church, and I'm getting, and it's like, the trucks, I don't know what is, you know, and then a ticket, and I know tickets are expensive, right? I mean, does anybody know? Okay. And so, yeah, and then to say, I forgive you, that's like, you know, that's a grace of God right there, that really is. And I just told him the truth. He said, you knew you were speeding. I said, and he said, when you pulled right over, you knew. I said, I know it, I was. I said, I can't operate this car, it's borrowed. And I thought, oh, he's going to think you stole the car. But he didn't. Anyway, the whole point is, you reach a point, and God knows where that is. He says He won't let more be put on us than we can bear. I want everybody to remember that. And because I need to remember it myself. But He will, with whatever temptation or trial that you're going through, provide a way of escape so you can endure it and you can come out of it. But we think we're at the end of a rope. And God will say, no, you got a little more. A little more. And what we're talking today, you say, does all this tie into the message? Every bit of it. Because I just titled it, It Will Happen. And the title of the message, and this is before... This is before all this stuff. Little did I know, God, you're going to make me live through another one. I got to live this one. And then, you know, I had this one, I'm working on it, and making notes, and doing all this. And then, little did I know, you're going to live this one. You're going to have to bring this one, another one. You're not going to just bring this. It's going to come from the heart, right from your heart, like all these do. It will happen, you know. You just got to hang in there. It's going to happen. But in the meantime, whew, you think you're at the end of the rope, and I wonder, let me say this to you. I've wondered about this a long time, and I believe, because there's not scripture that speaks to it. It just says, you know, don't become weary in doing good. That's what we're going to look at today. I believe God will actually let you get to the end of your rope. Because my experience in life and what I believe I understand about scripture is that he'll let you get down there and we're hanging on. We're saying, God, I can't take any more. This can't go on any further. And what he's really wanting you to do is get to the end of your rope. Your rope. See, that is a problem for so many of us. We want that lifeline. We want what is secure to us that's in this world. We depend on our own will, our own strength, our own endurance, our own vitality. And when that begins to fail us, or when that's not enough, we get right there and we're screaming out to God. And what he's really saying is, if you'll just let go, I'll catch you. I'll take this thing. I got you. But you're not letting me as long as you're holding on to that self-will or that independence or that whatever it is for you that's wrapped into your belief system that shouldn't be there in your belief system with Christ. It's Christ and Christ alone. And even for myself, you see, a lot of things are so unconscious, we're not aware of them. And so he'll let us get to the point, and I know in myself, I suspect right now I'll learn somewhere. He's probably saying, Tony, you're depending too much on, and let me say this because I'm real big on this. You're depending too much on all the vitamins you take, all the natural stuff and all that. And every bit of that's good, but it's not God. And you get to depending on walking your miles and taking all your stuff, and we need to do that, but it never can be a substitute for God. And so, you know, and he'll show you, okay, all this and this, and you take all this, but I'm God. Don't start trusting in all the natural medicine or this or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Don't hear me wrong. I'll continue to take all that because it's God used it to help a lot of things in my life and keep me healthy. But there's times in your life he's going to say, "Don't. It's not medicine. It's not natural products. It's not this. It's not that. It's not even the church. It's me that keeps you going. It's me that gives you health. I use these things, but I give the health." And you start trusting too much in something else, I'll allow things to happen to get you back on track. And for all of us, rather than being mad at him, we need sometimes just say, you know, don't grow weary in doing good. This is right in this message today. Don't get tired. I'll read it here. And just don't get tired of doing good. Because God allows things and we get so mad and frustrated and beaten down and feel like, God, you've abandoned me. And God said, no, I just want you at the end of that rope. Let go. Quit fighting this thing and start trusting me and me alone. Take all your good stuff. Do everything that you know to do to take care of yourself. But in the end, your body is my temple and mine alone. And he reminds us through little things happening to us, you belong to me, not yourself. Nobody else. So let me read this so we can really wrap into this message. It's in Galatians 6. This is a New Living Translation, and you'll have this up here. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Now, a lot of people need to hear that. You'll always harvest what you plant. And those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. It's a lot here, and it's easy to just be distracted and not really into this. But he's saying whatever you put out, whatever you sow in the ground, it's going to come back at you. And you'll either, if it's good, you'll like it, and if it's not, you won't like what's coming. But he gives a guarantee here. Says you cannot knock the just, you can't mock God. So whatever you put out there, it'll come back, good or bad. So if so he says, those who live, if you live to satisfy your own sinful nature, it's going to come back. And if you live to please the Spirit, you'll harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So then he says these words, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And what a passage. And so I just titled this, It Will Happen. And I started saying, title it, Don't Give Up, It Will Happen, but just to shorten, It Will Happen, but Don't Give Up. So what is he saying to us here? This is important. He said, what he's saying is this, whatever you plant, you will always harvest what you plant. You see that? Always. Every time. And I don't know if that bothers you, but when it kind of settles in, it's like, whoa, that means what I plant that I'm going to have to eat? Yeah. If you're going to, you make your bed, you're going to sleep, and you're going to have to live with it, whatever you do, good or bad. So if you sow to the world, the flesh, as the scripture speaks to, if you sow to this stuff out here, and you buy into all the worldly things and all the new stuff, what's the latest, and you forget God's word and to walk by his word and fellowship with him, he said, you're going to reap that. And just think about this, and just made some notes here, and I thought, and it's like, you're going to reap it good or bad? And so, what's some of the things that, and I, that we all struggle with, and I hear people complain about all the time to me, out and about, and one of the things, here's one of the things here, that people are so disrespectful everywhere you go, and they are, and you notice that there's a lot of disrespect. But one of the things you have to do a little check with is say, but are you disrespectful in any way? Because disrespect draws disrespect. And then in today's society, you can be as loving as you want to be, and I'm sorry, but you're going to get some unloving response. it's hard to check out of many places anymore without somebody being pretty tacky at the checkout counter. It's just the way it is. But if people are rude to you, rude equals rude. Disrespect equals disrespect. If you have a lot of times people say, I wasn't disrespectful. And if you were with them, and maybe you weren't, but have you ever been around somebody and they're complaining because somebody was disrespectful to them? And they're saying, I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't rude. Do you ever want to say to them, no, but your face was? Most of the time, we don't get this in life. People are reacting to our facial expressions, our body language more than they don't hear the words. They're hearing what's on our face, and they respond to it. Don't you? I mean, you just walk by people and they've got an old look on their face. They may be the nicest people in the world, but that look just makes you just want to slap them. You ever just want to take their cart when they're reaching for something and run it around the other aisle? Just because they have a sour look on their face? Have people ever fooled you? They look so honorary and contrary. And then you take a step and you chance it and you speak to them and they're just the nicest people you ever talked to. And you're thinking, oh, I was judging you on that sour look you have, And really, there's a nice person inside. We've got to let the power of God get a hold of everything so that we plant. See, what we plant is not, we think, oh, that's what I say and do. It's also what I give off. It's expressions. You ever walk towards someone and they you see an expression on their face and that expression tells you they don't want to talk to you, but they're real nice once you get there? But you've already been turned off because of that expression. And a while back, I was going to speak to, and not anybody here, but I was going to speak to a gal, and I said, you know, hey, and I saw this this look come over her face, and it's just, I can't exactly imitate it, but it was something like this. That made me so happy feeling. And I just jumped up and down, and I thought, I can't wait to talk to her. And I want to tell you, my first reaction, being a guy, my first reaction was worldly, and I thought, "Why are you honoring?" And then it's like, Tony, what's the thing to do? You walk right straight up to her, and how are you doing? And do your usual, "Hey, how are you?" thing. COVID, no, I don't care anymore. And that's what I did. What do you think happened? Did I get slapped or did I get a response? It's 50-50 call here, you know. And what happened in that case? All that stopped and then the conversation started so what's the deal? Just because they do it, don't you do it. You're going to reap whatever you put in the ground, so you go right into it. And I believe this wholeheartedly. Don't ever start running backwards from people. Walk right into them. And I'm telling you this is something that I've had to do in this work. If I didn't do this, I couldn't get up here and do what I'm doing, because I have to walk into hostile situations and people mad at God. There's nothing worse than for a pastor to come on the scene with somebody that's mad at God, because they're going to take it out on you because you represent Him. And you get cussed. You get told all kinds of horrible things about you and God and your church. And you got to be able to just walk right through that. And keep after it. And I realize, you know, it's like, Tony, God's watching. Have I ever failed? More than I'd want to tell you. I'm better at it now that I've gotten a lot more experience and age in this thing. But listen, it used to be hard to take a cussing and not you, anybody. I mean, somebody call you a bunch of stuff and but then you realize it's not me. They're mad at him. And they're mad at God. But they take it out on you. And they will, not just pastors, any of us. And you've got to realize, I'm sowing seeds here, and it's not about, it's about God. See, it's not about me, that person. It's about God. And I've got to remember, whatever I do is planting seeds, good or bad, and He wants me to plant a good harvest here. So what will honor Him in this situation? Not what's going to protect me. Not what's going to keep my self-esteem all aglow. What's going to honor God in the situation? I want to plant that seed. And by the way, for a lot of us, we need to hear this. Temper produces temper. If you lose your temper, the people that you're losing it with will probably lose theirs. I know nobody in here ever causes that chain reaction, right? Nobody does that here. You know, absolutely nobody. Okay, there's a few people smiling and pointing at each other and looking around. We've all done it. You lose it, but then everybody else just then it turns into a total nothing. It's gone then. It's over. You ever done this at a holiday meal or something special? And everybody's choking on their food. You ever been at a place and somebody gets mad and everybody gets mad and it's all, especially at Christmas when you're supposed to be, you know, talking about Jesus and you're having a Christmas meal and everybody's mad and snarling at each other. You ever been so distressed you just wanted to get up and go home? At that moment, and I'm saying that because you can obviously tell, have you been there, Tony? Oh, more than I want. Yeah. Yeah, where you're just going, how did I get into this? We're supposed to be here happy and celebrating. And there, yeah, pass a cranberry. Well, get it yourself. And you're thinking, isn't this a lovely meal? Thank you, Jesus, that I came to this one. Yes. And then, I've really done that, and we all have, and yet, in the midst of it, here's the point where God is saying, don't become weary in doing good. If you have the opportunity to do good. What is he calling you to do in that situation? You plant the seeds that will produce a harvest that will honor him. And that means, first of all, you check your heart. But I keep telling people, watch your face. Watch your body language. That's what turns people on or off quicker than anything we do. And it's one of the things most left out in Christian teaching. Because we talk about the spirit. We talk about the heart and all this stuff. What about what you give off? You know why Jesus attracted so many people to himself? Why did people come to him? Didn't even know him. Surely a lot of them had heard of him and they come to be healed. But many people were drawn to Jesus. You know why? Because what he gave off drew them like a magnet. Nowhere did Jesus ever walk. Nowhere. Nowhere was there hate or anger. Everywhere he went, people felt what? Love. They knew they'd be accepted. They knew that no matter what sins or mistakes, no matter what horrible, hideous things they'd committed, this man right here will bring forgiveness to me. This man will not send me away. He's not a Pharisee. He's not a religious leader. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they didn't even grasp all that. But this guy is real. He's who he says he is. And he won't turn anybody away. They dragged that poor gal, you know, in front of him, caught in the act. She was so set up. It was pathetic. But she was doing it. She was caught in the act. And they knew, man, this rabbi, this teacher, he's got to get her. By the law, by everything. And he defied it all. And people all standing around were looking at him, you know, get her. She's got to be stoned. She's in, you know, committing adultery. We miss sometimes the depth of that whole thing. You know, we talk about, you know, he said, he was without sin. Let him be the first to cast a stone. Of course, they all went away because they'd all sinned. Half of them been watching. How'd they know she was doing it? They weren't watching. All that kind of stuff. You get into all that. But the real teaching there is, even when you're caught in the act of something that society totally condemns, I, the Lord Jesus, there she was. She's in the dirt. They throw her down. And I, the Lord Jesus, will pick you up out of that dirt every time. You have nowhere else to turn, lady. There's nowhere else to go. There's not an institution, a person, a place on this earth that's going to accept you right now. You know why? You're going to be marked, especially in that time, with the letter A right on your forehead. You're an adulteress. But not to Jesus. You know what she was to him? A human being with needs, with failures. And she needed forgiveness and she needed hope. She needed her ticket forgiven. And he stamped it and go and lead this life of sin. I don't condemn you. Now that's the message that for every one of us. That's why we're here. It does whatever we've done, that's what I forgive you. God let that happen. See, on the way here to emphasize this text today, this message, and say, I'm going to make it real, real for you, son. Because that's exactly what I do. You deserve that ticket that sends you to hell, and instead, I forgive you. Now get out of that dirt and don't sit there beating yourself up and go live a life and plant the right seeds. You've been there, done that. Help other people who are going there now and doing what you've just done. You go help them. Now, he didn't say that to her, but that's what he wanted her to do, and that's what he wants us all to do. Whatever you've done, then go help other people, either not to do it or get out of it. I just love to spend more time here, and I can't, so let me move on. I had one other thing, and I thought, with the mouth, you know, the sowing seeds, Be careful. You know, it is so easy everywhere, and it bothers. And nothing just bothers me. That sounds so lame. It really, you know, I don't know how to say it in pastoral terms. But when somebody has a smart mouth with me, there's a word for it, but I can't say it here. How much it does, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. And it really ticks us off. That's close enough. And we want a smart mouth back. You want a smart mouth, and especially some, you know, if they're younger than you, you just want to. But just remember this: smart mouth will bring smart mouth. And once you start smart mouthing with somebody, and I used to call it, we used to call it potty mouth in itself. But once you start the mouth stuff, there's no win. You remember this. We're peacemakers. Don't let your pride get in the way of doing the right thing. Usually what keeps any argument going, what keeps the potty mouth stuff going, the smart mouth and all that, is our pride's involved and we're not going to let them have the last word. That's what it is. And Jesus is saying to you, you ever thought about just walking away? You ever thought about being the godly woman, the godly man that just looks at them with that look? Not a look of hate, not that body language thing of you just wailing. But that thing that just shows, I feel sorry for you type deal. I really love you. I feel sorry for you. That's all you got going for you. And when you turn like that and just walk away, the bigger person left the scene. And nothing but a small, mean-mouthed person's left standing. It's truth. There's times to do that. There's times to walk right into it and face people. When it comes to this smart mouth thing, you're not going to win. Why try? You win sometimes by just see you. This, when somebody's negative, they're condemning, they're critical. I have a lot of people say, you know, I just get such a critical attitude back towards me and negative and all this stuff. It's like, what are you giving off? Do you give people hope? Or are you really reaping what you're sowing and don't even realize it? Enough said. So if you really want to produce something, give love. By the way, when we say love, love does not mean lying down and let people stomp on you. Jesus never did that. Never. He exercised love and he exercised forgiving love and grace love and all these kinds. But he also had tough love. He could confront. Look at poor Peter. I mean, Peter's one of his followers and Peter was saying the wrong thing more than once. And Jesus just, what did he do? Tough love. He confronted him. Told him he was acting like the devil, talking like the devil. Get behind me. Quit that. And there's a time you have to do that too. And I do too. You give forgiveness, you receive it. You give kindness, you get kindness. You give grace, you receive grace. You give money, you'll get money back. We have a stingy world and people out there don't want to. Man, it's everybody's in it for themselves. Jesus said the way to get is to give. Give and it'll be given to you. That means that all these things we've been talking about, love and forgiveness and kindness and money, all of it. And he said, I'll give it to you back, flowing, overflowing where you can't even contain it. So you plant what you know. What you plant, you will harvest. But let's go to the second point. We need to start wrapping this up real quick. Don't get tired of planting. Don't get tired of planting. You know, don't get tired of doing good works. Is what he's saying here. Is please don't get tired of doing good. Don't get weary and faint. Here's the problem in Christian service. There can be a long time between sowing and reaping. We can be tempted to quit, throw in the towel. I want to share this quick story with you. It won't be up here. So I want you to just kind of grasp as I read to you. This happened in the Old Testament, and it's always fascinated me about this waiting thing. If you ask me, do I fully understand it? No. And nobody does. But we can get the meaning that there's things goes on in this universe that we don't even have an idea. In the book of Daniel, Dan, just mark this down and read it for yourself. Please read every passage I ever give you for yourself so you'll know it's legit and know where it's coming from. So in Daniel chapter 10, it was in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, and a revelation was given to Daniel. And he was called Belteshazzar, and, you know, we don't care, but that's what he was called. Its message was true, though, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Listen to this, because this happens. If it happened then, it's still happening now. Do we understand all that happens around us? We feel it at times, but we don't get it. So listen to this. He says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks, and I ate no choice food, and no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions or any of this stuff until the week. I had a few words there, but it didn't. And until the weeks were over. And then he said, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. So after 3 weeks, he's praying. He doesn't get an answer. Sounds like the story of a lot of our lives, right? You're praying and praying and praying and praying. And then a hand touched him. And he said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed, just like you are. You're highly esteemed. Jesus died and rose again for you. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he said this to me, this Daniel saying, I stood up trembling. And then he continued, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, your God, your words were heard. It's like, what? Your words were heard what? 3 weeks ago? Yeah. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them, but this is... We'll all figure that God will reveal the in-depth of this in heaven, but listen to this. The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, see Michael, the archangel, this is an angel speaking to him, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So there was a spiritual warfare going on that we're not even privy to. And the angels of God are fighting the demon servants, that whatever you want to call them. It says the prince of Persia. So there's a demonic presence over Persia. And he said, we fought for 21 days. And Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Do you get what's in here? An Old Testament passage that some people write off as story tales and fables. It's not. Haven't you ever been places, go in somewhere, and you feel the presence of things evil, but you can't see them? And you know to get out of there? You ever just, you go in a place maybe to buy something, and you just feel, and you just know, don't touch anything, get out of this place. Are you meeting with some people and you can just tell, I've got to get away from these people as quick as I can? That stuff's going on. And there's battles and there's warfare. And you see the overflow of it in the way people act out here. Look at the demonic things that are happening. We're allowing children by the thousands and thousands to be molested in this country. We're overlooking it. That's of the devil. That's evil. Our leadership is somehow connected with... They're not even trying to stop this. This is not a political rap. It's just the facts, folks. And that's spiritual war. And there's demonic beings out here that are possessing people. It's horrible to see. And we feel all this. We see it. We're burdened by it. The same kind of thing. But after 3 weeks, his prayers were answered and he got the answer. And the whole point is here is, listen, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get tired of planning. Don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of doing what it is you've got to do for the Lord you're called to do. It takes a while because you don't know. Other people are being prepared. There's warfare out there. There's stuff going on. And we think it's all about us. God is at work. He's on His throne. But there's more involved in this whole planetary thing, in this world involvement, and what's happening out here than just you and me. One of the things where we mess up constantly, one of the areas, is we think life is all focusing around ourselves. It's just human nature to do that. And we're just one piece of the puzzle. We're just a part of the whole body of Christ. And you are being heard with your prayers. God knows what you need. But there's things like this that go on that we can't explain. We don't know the full story there. But the angel comes and tells him, God heard you. But we had to fight to get to you. But we got here, and we'll always get here. And now we have the Holy Spirit in us. When we accept Jesus Christ, He gives us His Spirit. And we have so much more going than Daniel did. But these things still happen. And there are delays. And maybe God's preparing somebody else. Maybe God is always at work in other people's lives and other areas of the world, the universe, to make it work out to bring Him glory. And if you keep looking to him and you don't quit, don't grow weary, just keep doing and keep doing and keep saying, and watch those expressions. Keep planning with your whole being. Keep planning righteousness and goodness and peace for people, to people, for the glory of God. God will bring that harvest, and you'll reap what you're sowing, and it will come to you. But things happen, and it tests us, and we want to give up. And so I told you I'm closing, so I'm doing that right now. Just remember and keep always in mind that no matter what, that God will make it happen. God hears your prayers. God sees your life. God knows exactly what you need right now, and He knows what you're going to need for the future. We think we know what we need. He knows what we need. And He'll surprise you with more than you imagined. He loves doing more than we ask, more than we imagine. So you know this, God's going to make this happen. God's going to heal you. God's going to deliver you. But He's going to do it in His timing, and with things happening out here, that just remember that, just go back to Daniel and you read that once in a while. When you get discouraged and say, you know what? That much hasn't changed. There's still spiritual warfare out there. There's still stuff going on that I don't get. And Jesus, you can say, Jesus, I ask you to heal me, or I ask you to provide for this money. I need this help and all this, or put back my family or whatever, give a new job. He hears you. And the delay is not to punish you. It's because there's more than you involved. And God's working with a lot of people. And some people are just hard to change. And God won't kill you. And He won't beat you over the head and make you do what He says. And so sometimes we sit here and yes, we suffer a little because somebody else is not listening. Everybody get that? And He's got to work on their heart, and He calls us to be patient, and He calls us to be faithful. And I'll tell you two things, at least two things, there's more. I'll give you two things that God uses delay to develop in our lives. When God delays, realize God is working on at least two areas of your life. You ready for them? One is humility. When God delays, He's working on you, and He's humbling you, and He's letting you get to the end of that rope, so you'll turn loose and quit having that, letting that old pride get in the way, and that ego, and humility. It says, 1 Peter, I can't give you all this, but 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll read in there, he says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so there it is. And he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and He'll lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on God, because He cares about you. That's a great passage. And God's teaching us humility through that, because we have to empty ourselves out and let go of our pride and our mad and our anger and say, Your will be done. What's the other thing? Do I have to say it? Well, I will. If He's developing humility, then He's giving you patience. Then nobody wants God to give them patience. How many of you are afraid to ask God to give you patience? Yeah, okay, that's honest. Because you know what's going to happen when you do, right? Yeah, He'll help you. And you're going to have patience. And I do believe He has a tremendous sense of humor. We just picture Him as a stone-hearted old guy. No, if He's a loving God. He sent Jesus to die for you, and He raised Him from the dead. And God has a hard side, but He's got a really wonderful, gentle heart. But He's got a sense of humor. But humility and patience. God wants you to learn to be patient and wait on Him. Trust Him. Let Him work it all out. So you can read this in James. Just jot this down. We got to close. But he says, just be patient. The farmer waits for the crop. I'm going to paraphrase this. He waits for the land to produce, and then it'll come after the rains and all that. And he said, you too, be patient. Stand firm. The Lord's coming is near. And don't grumble against one another. See, he says, don't get mad. Start griping and complaining. Let me close now with this last little word. Don't you ever forget. And you'll experience this in life as you walk with the Lord, and you can find it with all the people in Scripture God's worked with. The greater the blessing, and listen to this, the greater the blessing, the greater the preparation to receive it. You want a big blessing from God? Then you let God give you a big heart. God will give you that humility and that patience. He'll develop that character for you to receive it. Why? Because God never blesses anybody but that He wants you to take that blessing and share that blessing, or at least part of it, with other people. He seldom asks for us to give the entire blessing away, but He wants you to be willing to share it where He directs you to share it, whatever that blessing may be. And so you remember, and we grab this from Job. Now you know what Job went through and all that he suffered. And then in the end it said Job prayed for his friends and the Lord made Job prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. And all of his brothers and sisters, everybody who knew him, they came to him and they gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring for what he'd been through, see. And the Lord expanded him and developed him and used him as an example. You know what God used Job mainly for? It wasn't even his time. What Job went through was not for then. It was for now. What Job went through was to help you and help me receive the blessing of God by looking at what happened to a man so far back in the Old Testament. He didn't know one end from the other except that he trusted in God. He didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know about any of that stuff. But God called him, and he didn't even know why this was happening. He never did, but God blessed him in the end more than he had ever been blessed and prospered him. And why? So you and I, when we get discouraged, could look at this man's life and say, look how God blessed this guy, because he refused to give up. And one day people are going to stand around and they're going to be talking. And you may not have ever been governor or a senator or president or anything else, but they're going to be talking about you and they're going to say, look at that gal. Look at that guy. They never, ever gave up. That's what we're here for. Don't grow weary. God will make it happen. All right. Father, thank you for the word and the power of it and the encouragement of it. That we know right this day, no matter how we feel, no matter what it looks like, we're going to be rescued. We're going to be delivered. We're going to be healed. The money's coming. The great job is coming. All the things. And it might look right now like, God, are you listening? Yes, you are. You're preparing ourselves and others. But it'll happen. You'll make it happen. Look how much has already happened. And we're looking forward to what will happen. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. We invite everybody here. We've got a lot of you visiting with us today. Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Terry. All right. Was a day when I never dreamed we'd be doing the Lord's Supper like this. But a little COVID thing changed a lot of things, at least temporarily. But on the night he was betrayed, you know, Jesus suddenly, he did. He just, out of nowhere, took that piece of bread and broke it and said, let's have a new thing right now. And he said, from now on, he said, I want you to set aside a time of your life where you take bread and break it. And I want you to remember that this is my body. That's given, broken for you. And then he took that cup and of course at that time they dipped the bread in it and passed it around. We can't do that these days. But that wasn't what's significant, the way it was done. It's what it means. And he said, I want you to always remember that I give my body for you, and this is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I thank you all for being here. I thank you for our guest for being with us and visiting with us. And thank you for coming. Good to see you again. And all of you. It's so nice to have you here. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his presence, his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace. And don't forget, it will happen. In Jesus' name, God bless you.